Welcome to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team. My hope is to shine a light on phenomenal educators and those that are on a mission to transform our schools and the lives of students. There is a unique thrill in starting something new, setting a goal, drafting a plan, or feeling that initial surge of excitement. However, sustaining that energy is a different challenge entirely, and it's easy to lose momentum when you find yourself in the middle of the work. So success is built on momentum, which is why we this fall recognize schools and educators doing the heavy lifting to keep their MTSS work moving forward. And so we invited educators to nominate their schools by highlighting the impactful work they are currently doing. And today we are proud to feature one of our winners. So joining us to share their journey are the educators from Lee School and Norridge School District in Illinois. And they're going to discuss their dedication to creating lasting momentum in their MTSS framework. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So I'm going to have you each kind of introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about Lee School. So I'm going to start with Sean. Go ahead and introduce yourself and then you can kind of pass it around.
Sure. My name is Sean Raviola. I am the principal here at Lee School. I'm in my fifth year here in Norridge and really excited to share a little bit about our work over the past few years. And I will send you over to Josie.
My name is Josie Giannini. I've been the interventionist here for a few years. I love it. I'm not only an educator in Norridge, I'm also a Norridge resident. There's a big sense of community, not only in our town, but in the school. We're just one big family, which makes it easy to come here and do what we do every day.
And I'm Erin Savage. I am also an academic interventionist at Lee School. I actually student taught here in 2009 and have been here ever since. So I have been a Lee Tiger for a long time and am a big supporter of the students who go here and the teachers who work here. It's a really good sense of community and family. And once you're in, it's difficult to leave.
So tell me a little bit about Norridge itself, and then sort of kind of give me a little bit of snapshot of some demographics for Lee School and what that way, just to orient our listeners around that.
Yeah, sure. Norridge is a interesting community. We are a suburb of Chicago, but we're actually surrounded by the city of Chicago. So sometimes referred to as the island in the city. We're not too far from like O'Hare Airport. So that's usually what I tell people, because when you think of Chicago, it's this massive place. But it is really interesting that we are literally surrounded by the city limits. A little bit about Lee School. We have around 600 students here. That's our enrollment. Of those 600 students, we're about 42% low income. And 16% of our students are students with IEPs, individualized education programs, in place. And 36% of our students are English learners, or what we call multilingual learners. Our top three languages are Ukrainian, Polish, and Spanish. But if you look overall, we have about 30-ish languages spoken throughout our school, which I think is pretty incredible. So that's a little bit of a snapshot about us. I think one thing that is interesting about Norridge is we have a lot of families that come to Norridge, but then also stay in Norridge. So we have some of our now parents were once students here years ago. So that's always something that is a little bit unique, or I find it unique here.
That's great. Well, thanks for sharing a little bit about Norridge. I know that it sounds like a very diverse community too, as well. Just have lots of various backgrounds and cultures as well. So I think that makes any school kind of a rich school community in that way. So you guys have been doing MTSS work for a while. What would you say are some essential first steps to building a strong and effective framework? And what lessons have you learned kind of in the early stages of your work?
So I think one of the big pieces to always remember is to know your why. You know, why is it that we're doing this work? And also being able to articulate that and be clear and transparent. When it comes to MTSS, at least what I've seen in my experience is it becomes something where a lot of people don't have clear guidance or clear answers. And it becomes a point of frustration because we're ultimately talking about how we're supporting students and supporting student learning. So I think, that's number one, know your why and being clear and transparent. I'd also, thinking about that mindset, right? Knowing that MTSS is not a pathway to special education. And, there are some misconceptions about that. So that's something to be clear and upfront with, right off the bat. But you also have to reframe with, the picture of what is MTSS and thinking about how it really is a systematic way to ensure that every student is getting what they need, right? So, early on, making sure that your framework is grounded in data and instruction and really focusing on that, really is helpful. But also, one of the things that we did early on was create a MTSS handbook. And we had an iteration of a handbook previously, but we made it a little bit more clear. We had our decision rules. We had everything outlined. And that just helped to create some predictability. Teachers now understood there was a process. It wasn't like you were going to a meeting to then find out what the next step would be. They had an idea as to what the steps are for students and the different types of things that we're going to try, even going into a meeting now. And they're really a part of that process through our grade level problem solving meetings, which you'll hear about, I'm sure, from one of our lovely interventionists who will dive into that in a few minutes. So those are some of the big pieces. But in terms of lessons learned, some of the things that I learned personally, having tools and resources, I would say we had a whole, I'll just say a boatload of resources and tools and intervention kits and things like that. But those tools don't fix a broken system. It really is the systematic pieces. Another lesson learned, and something that I've been trying to stress to my teachers here, don't overthink Tier 2. A lot of times we think it has to be something completely different. It has to be a separate thing, a separate product, a separate, type of intervention that we're doing, where it could just be more time with the teacher, where we're working and being intentional and deliberate with how we're working with that. And that leads into my other lesson learned, is that consistency beats perfection. We're not striving for perfection. We're striving to be consistent, because we know that when we are consistent, our students thrive off of that. And, we've seen some great results specifically within our Tier 2 and our Tier 3 MTSS system for academics.
Well, I'm excited to hear more about those results, but I love what you said about how, you can have all the tools in the world, but you can't fix a broken system. And having a systematic way, I think you highlighted your handbook being essential and practical. I think that's really great. There's a lot of times we see a handbook that has all the right language in it, but it's hard for the educators to pull out what they really need. Having those decision rules and the standard treatment protocol for all those things is so essential to actually make the work happen and make it doable. Because I think there's a lot of times we see MTSS is not very doable. So it sounds like you're doing all the right things there. Okay, so I'm sure that the interventionist can answer a little bit of this too. So your team was awarded the MTSS Momentum Award for leadership and collaboration. And we know that collaboration and teamwork is vital for student success. We know that within MTSS. So how have you structured your teams to improve collaboration and ensure that everyone is working towards the same goals for supporting students?
So we meet with the grade level teams monthly. We call them grade level problem solving meetings, where teachers can bring up students who have been struggling academically or any kind of concerns that they have with them. And it's a time for Josie and I to kind of help problem solve as best as we can, offer solutions if we can, different things to try. Those conversations also kind of help put those students on our radar so that we know who to really kind of keep an eye on and who might need more intensive support coming down the line. We also have day-to-day discussions. Those come up around benchmark times. So we review student data. We see what kind of progress the students have made. If there's a student who hasn't made progress or hasn't made significant progress, we make sure that the teachers are part of those discussions, because maybe a kid had an off day and they just didn't do well on the test that day. That doesn't necessarily mean they're not making progress or that they're struggling. So it's really important for us to have the teachers in those conversations because they're the ones who are really on the front lines and with these kids every day, and they know them the best in this building. So really getting their input on those meetings is really helpful to kind of help drive what kind of support these students need. Do they still need the tier two support with the teachers? Have they made progress with the teachers? And now, you know, teachers can kind of take a step back a little bit. Or do they need more some support from Josie or I? We also work a lot with teachers on creating plans and goals for students in Branching Minds. Those tier two students, the teachers are the ones who create the goals for them. Josie and I make sure that we're available to help them. Sean has also made sure that he's available to help teachers out and answer questions. But again, teachers really know their students and they know what is accessible to them and what they will be successful doing. So it's important for us to make sure that yes, they're part of the conversation, but that they're also the ones creating those plans and goals for their students. Josie and I make sure that we're available to help if any questions comes up. And of course, you know, you don't use it, you lose it. So sometimes when those meetings come around and it's time to make those goals, teachers might forget the steps a little bit. So we just want to make sure that we're there to help support them and remind them. And a lot of the times once they get going again, it's like, oh yeah, I remember how to do this. We've done this a million times before. Teachers also progress monitor their students. They do it for tier two. Josie and I do it for tier three. But again, we want the teachers involved in the process because they know their students and they deserve to feel proud of their students and proud of themselves when they see that those students are making progress. Let's see. We also have problem solving meetings, which Josie will talk about in a little bit. But if we do see that a student is struggling and, you know, needing more intensive support, teachers are also part of those conversations too and kind of help drive those decisions as to whether or not they do need support. What is it that they are struggling with? What do you think would be beneficial to them? So our teachers are really, you know, a big part of this entire process. And it's important for us to support them so that they can support their students.
Yeah.
I think something really important is going back to what Sean said, we have to keep the why in mind. That's always at the forefront. You know, why are we doing this? And why are we making the decisions the way we do? Having a system really makes it clear cut so that when we are meeting with the teachers, we're not just, okay, well, let's see if I can put this kid in this tier and give them the support just because I feel like they really need it. It's everything is data driven. We have information that proves why they need what they need. And everyone knows why we're making the decisions we make because we have the system in place.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it makes some of those conversations easier too.
100%. Yes.
I love that you highlighted just that emphasis on involving the teachers, because I do think that there's a little bit of that mindset of MTSS is this separate thing. And so it's, interventions happen away from the general ed classroom, or this is just another thing that kids are involved in, another layer of support, but it's not as involved in the classroom. And so I love that you sort of involve the teachers in that way. I do often find, and I'm a secondary person, and so I often find, like, you know, a lot of the tier two things happened within my classroom because, you know, secondary MTSS is different. But I found that it really gave me insight into the student's actual progress, rather, you know, because when it's more removed, it's often easier to, like, out of sight, out of mind. So I love that emphasis and that it is their work that they're a part of too. So,
and one thing I just like to highlight from a leadership perspective is that I think it's important to make sure that you build in that time into your schedule or your calendar for those meetings to take place, because that's a big piece. If we didn't have a time where we could have those, there's a lot of this work that wouldn't be possible. But we do have grade level common planning time, and that's when we are typically able to do some of the data review and have these, you know, discussions about students.
So you talked about how some of your meetings are monthly, like you have a monthly problem solving, and then the data kind of deep dive happens after benchmarks. Is there any other meeting structure that you have within your like kind of weekly or monthly structures?
So within that, it ends up being probably roughly about an every 3 week cycle, but it's for every single grade level. Those problem solving meetings are grade level specific. And then when we do our, you know, more of the benchmark and or interim progress review, when we're kind of wrapping up a cycle and trying to determine, you know, student progress and what the next step should be. That's more of a grade level plan time that we utilize. And those are about 45 minutes. And the majority of the time we do one of those for reading and another one for math to separate those content areas.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. So how do you, within those meetings, because it's easy to like have those meetings and, you know, you talk around decisions, how do you make sure that you guys are having actionable steps for supporting students?
I can kind of touch on this one. We do have agendas that we follow and we have a plan. That's, I think, the most important thing is you're going into this meeting, you have a plan. We're going to make sure that these are the things we're touching on. We're going to make sure that we're addressing everything that anyone is thinking of or concerned about. And then it doesn't just end when the meeting ends. It may be a conversation we have passing in the hall. It may be after a student completes an assessment in the classroom. That collaboration does happen during those monthly, so to say, meetings, but we're constantly collaborating day to day between the teachers, related services. Like, we're just always making sure that we're checking in with each other, giving the students what they need, adjusting as needed. Because, yeah, we might talk about something at a meeting and then we're like, oh, well, maybe we should try this. Well, we're not just going to wait until the next meeting. We're going to make it happen. So I just really think that that collaboration is something that's constant, not just at a meeting time. And having an agenda walking into that meeting keeps us on track, makes sure that we're all accountable and everyone knows what the expectation is.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I feel agendas make sure that you keep on track and you use your time efficiently.
Right. It's very easy to get off track and have side conversations or get into the little decompressing time. But having that agenda and a time that we need to have this done by makes sure that we get done what we need to get done for the kids.
Okay. So you talked a little bit about this in the beginning about how you're supporting students or supporting educators or your teachers and whether they're writing plans or goals. What other ways do you feel like you've kind of invested in the teacher development side of the MTSS work to make sure that they feel confident in the work?
Our district really tries to provide professional development in areas that teachers feel like they might need some extra professional development in. You know, if there's a new initiative or a new program that we're working on, they will work to get professional development for that. But at times, surveys will also be sent out to staff to be like, hey, what do you feel it is that you need? You know, do you need more support with supporting ML students? Do you need more support with supporting special education students? What kind of support do you feel like you're needing and how can we provide that? I feel like that's helpful in a way because I feel like, you know, admin is trying to be responsive to what teachers need. Obviously, we can't do that all the time because there's other things we do need to talk about. But that is one way that we try to support teachers. Just also, like Josie said, touching base with them after we have our set and scheduled meetings, like, hey, how did this work out? Or, hey, I thought of this idea. This is something that you can try with your student. Is this everything going okay? You know, I know that you're trying this. Like we had first grade this year implementing foundations in their classrooms. So we prepared all of the materials for them because that was something new that they were doing. We kind of walked through like what foundations looks like, what their lesson might look like from day to day, asked them if they had any questions and made sure that we were available to them to, again, continually help support them in something new, but something that would ultimately be beneficial for their kids.
So it sounds a lot like some hands-on coaching that you guys are doing as well as being interventionists here too.
Yeah, as it comes up, yeah.
So they're multifaceted interventionists, I can tell.
I would agree with that. Absolutely.
Well, so, you know, part of this work is engaging families. You talked a little bit about how Norwich, there's lots of families that have been there a long time. What approaches have you used to build that strong relationship with families and encourage them to be active partners in this process?
This is something I'm like very excited about and passionate about because I'm a parent myself and I want to help my kids. I want to help them be successful in school. And yes, I'm a teacher. So yes, I have my own tricks that may or may not work, you know, but I also know it's hard as a parent. You want your kid to be successful. You want to see them strive and be successful, but you don't know always how to do that. So one thing that we do here is we have an MTSS night where parents are invited, specifically parents of kids who are receiving interventions or tier two or tier three support, but really it's open to anyone. Anyone can come. And we just kind of go through like that MTSS process, what it looks like, why your child may or may not qualify, what kind of supports they get. But then we were also this year introducing different like strategies and activities for how they could help support their kids at home in these different areas. And we wanted to make sure that, you know, we know that homework isn't kids' favorite things. We know it's not parents' favorite thing to do with their kids. It's a battle a lot of the time. So we tried to offer activities that could be made into games, you know, make it fun, make it interactive, make it different than the homework so that kids would be more excited about it and parents, you know, could support their kids, but also kind of have some fun time interacting with them while they're supporting them. We join parent-teacher conferences. There's a related service document that goes out when those come around, and teachers are welcome to sign us up and have us join those conferences for specific students. Josie and I may also push our way in and say, hey, we want to come talk to this parent about what's going on in our group, even though we weren't invited. We also have problem-solving meetings. So if we see that a student's really not making progress, we'll invite the parent to come in. We'll invite the classroom teacher also and just kind of be like, hey, here's the most recent data on their benchmarking assessments, or here's some work samples, for example, from the classroom teacher. Here's what we're seeing. We're seeing that they're really struggling in this area or that area. You know, what are you seeing at home? And a lot of times parents will be like, oh, yeah, you know, we see that too. We're trying to read at home and it's just really hard for them. Or we try to do math homework at home and they're really not getting it. So a lot of the times when we're bringing up, you know, that a student may be struggling in a specific academic area, it's not something that's new to the parent, but we want to bring them in and let them know that we're noticing this and kind of make a more specific plan for them. Get the parents' feedback on what they think. And then Josie and I will also offer suggestions for how to help support students at home too. This year, we've also just started to do progress reports. So at the end of an intervention cycle, we go over, you know, what area they're receiving an intervention in, what their kids did really great in, what they caught on to. We also put, you know, areas of needs, whatever it is that they're still working on. And we include their progress monitoring data with that so parents can get, you know, another glimpse at how they're doing and what it is that they're working on. We also called parents to let them know that these were coming home. Parents were kind of surprised when we called, like, oh no, is everything okay? Why are you calling me? What's going on? And we're like, no, no, it's fine. We're just letting you know, like, this is how your kid is doing. We're going to keep working with them. Or, wow, your kid did such a great job. They're actually not going to work with us anymore. And let them know that these progress reports are coming home too, just so they knew what it was, who it was coming from. Because we all know sometimes parents can get inundated with paperwork from school.
Yeah. Or it gets lost in the backpack. Or yeah. You know.
Sure. Now, just to piggyback off of what Aaron was saying there is, you know, all of these things were not necessarily in place a few years ago, right? These are things that we've been continuously working on and continuously improving. You know, I've been in meetings a few years back where parents were a little bit more surprised, where, oh my gosh, I didn't know my student was struggling to this level. Those are like big red flags for me as a school leader and as a parent myself. I'm like, oh my gosh, I would not want to have that initial conversation at that point. So we've been really intentional and deliberate with planning out our communication protocol to make sure that we are communicating with parents early on. So that way there aren't no surprises. We want to be transparent. We want you to know where your student is. And it's okay if they are struggling. That's what we're here for. But we need to have those honest conversations and bring families in because we can't do this alone. And that really is critical, is forming that relationship with parents, making sure, you know, they know that we're here to support their child. And at the end of the day, you know, just working together to make sure we're all doing the best that we can. And when you think about, I'm just thinking about that word momentum, because it's in this, the award name, right? We continuously keep that momentum going. Yes, we've had an MTSS night, but then we said, okay, let's layer on some at-home activities into that event. Like, let's layer on progress reports so that way parents are having those updates. Let's layer in a phone call too, so that way they have that connection. And, you know, when you know better, you do better. And if you just keep going and keep pushing forward, I'm a big Chicago Bears fan, and you know, good, better, best is our motto right now. So I'm going to roll with that. By the time this airs, they may be out of the playoff, but you know, or this is shared out, but you know, it's all right. But you know, how do we, you know, keep some things going, and how do we really build that momentum, and you know, not just say, hey, things are going good, we're good. No, we're gonna keep going and making it the best that we can because our students deserve it.
I also think it's important because it's showing that we're not just collaborating in the building, we're collaborating with the parents because we're all on the same team. And it helps the parents understand, like, hey, we're real people. We really care about the kids. We're all working together. We're not just here to do our job from 8 to 3 and then we're out. We're keeping you informed every step of the way. We're letting you know what we're doing. We're letting you know what our system is so that you understand why we're also making these decisions, so that it also kind of makes those conversations a little bit easier as well when it comes to having to move a student to a problem-solving meeting and say, well, you know, this is what we've tried. We don't make these decisions lightly. We use many different strategies for longer periods of time to give these kids a chance to show us what they've got and to show us that this is the support that they need and that's what works for them. It just helps us relate to the parents to show them, you know, we're here to work with you.
Well, I like what you said. It's about being on the same team. And I always found that if you're approaching parent conversations in that way of like, hey, we want your student to be successful, just like you do, sort of helps bridge that gap. And oftentimes I found that parents are like, oh, good. I don't know what I need some help. I mean, you know, I'm glad that I'm not alone in helping my student. And I love that. I love that you did like an MTSS night, because I do think that I've fielded questions from my own siblings calling me about their students and MTSS. They're like, what is this? Tell me about it. So it's helpful to like sort of level set that understanding for parents where, you know, they may often, you know, remember their own educational experience, but they're like, is this the new thing? What is this? So I think that that's such a great idea. And then as well, sort of extending that learning and any communication. So hopefully like our audience can kind of have a little takeaway of some different ideas that they can try. I also wanted to comment on something you talked about where you said, Sean, you know, you're continuously improving, like you're adding new layers, maybe every year, every semester, you're adding new layers to what you're already doing. And I love that mindset because I think oftentimes we have that idea that if we can't do it perfectly, we shouldn't do it at all, or we don't have enough funding or time or resources to do everything. But often I think it's just starting small in different ways. And, you know, maybe you just start with an MTSS night and then you add something else to that, I think is a great mindset to have. So speaking of mindsets and shifting mindsets, it can be a challenge for any school. So I would love for you guys to each kind of share a little bit of advice that you have for leaders and educators that are working to help their staff build that momentum. And then also in particularly in collaboration or any of the areas that you guys feel you do particularly well in.
I'll start this one off. All right. So I think, you know, going back to, you know, what I said at the beginning here was making sure you're starting with your why. You know, why is it that we're doing this? Because I think that is critical. And if we're really keeping our students at the forefront of what we're doing and wanting to make sure we're supporting our students, you know, let's make sure that that's crystal clear for everyone. And then I think along with that, just building that clarity for your team. So that way it seems like a more transparent process. And because that's what I think our teachers are looking for, is they want to know, okay, what is it that I need to do? And when we don't know something, that's when I feel like, you know, this area is a little bit murky. But if we have clear, you know, a clear handbook, clear decision rules, clear systems in how we do things, I think one of the things is it starts to build the trust in the process, because people become a little bit more familiar and get on board with that. And because they understand, it's predictable. We know what's going to happen. We know when we have our GLIPS meetings, we know that we have our data review day-to-days. Those are all things that just become how we do what we do. And that's how we work in our student supports.
Yeah. I wanted to comment real quick. I do believe that trust is not built in uncertainty and murky waters, right? Like trust is built in that transparency, because in that uncertainty, I often feel like we fill in the gaps with negative things, which kind of erodes that trust. And so I think that that's a great mindset. I love that. Josie, what were you going to say?
Well, kind of like Sean said, like we didn't just come up with this all at once and we have this great system and it just magically appeared. I mean, we started with baby steps and we had a vision and we knew what we needed and where our goal was going to be and what we needed to do to get there. It doesn't happen overnight. And of course, all humans, when there's a change, it's scary. It's hard to say, okay, let's jump on board and do this. But, you know, we take those baby steps and we've created the system and we make it very easy for the teachers to understand why we're doing it the way we're doing it, And having a platform like Branching Minds just makes it so easy to understand why we're doing the steps and taking these steps to do what we're doing, because you can go in there and you can see, okay, well, this kid is a multilingual learner, or, you know, there's some social emotional things going on, or, hey, I've noticed that academically I can see their progress report on here, or I'm sorry, their progress monitoring. And I noticed that they've been struggling with this for quite a while. What do we need to do to help them succeed? Everything is all in one place. We can see if maybe the student has been absent quite a bit. There's so many little pieces that gives us that full picture, and everyone that works with that student has access to that. So that helps us achieve what we need to do to help the kids achieve.
I like that. Erin, what would you say?
Kind of like, you know, Sean and Josie have already said, start small. It's really overwhelming to think about the whole process and all the little pieces that fit into the process. Just start small. Pick one thing. Where are you going to start? And then just build upon that, kind of, you know, building blocks or Legos like the kids do. But I would also say, make sure that that teacher support is there, because teachers get inundated with new initiatives all the time. And they're in the classrooms. They have so many things to deal with on a daily basis. And to hear that, you know, a new process is going to be put in place can be daunting. So I think we really need to make sure that teachers understand why the process is being put in place, but also make sure that you're supporting the teachers and helping the teachers. This is what we're going to be doing. This is what it's going to look like. How can I help you? What do you need from me to help you get this done? You know, there's going to be pushback because, like Josie said, change is scary, but you just got to keep, you know, showing up for your teachers and supporting them and showing them that you're there for them, and providing that support will help build that trust and help them become part of this process.
I remember the first time I had to enter a plan and a goal for all the students we were working with. I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? It's scary using something so important that you know is important.
I like that. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me today about Lee School and the work that you're doing. It is so, as a former educator, I know that the days are long and there's always more work to be done. And so just thank you on behalf of Branching Minds. Just thank you for all the hard work that you do for your students, and congratulations on your award.
Thank you.
Then, thank you.
Do you mind if I just do a quick shout out here?
Yes, feel
because
free. Yeah.
I really just want to say that the magic really is our teachers. Yes, we've built some collaboration, we've built the structures, but it really is that structure that where the teachers then have that time to work with the students and do what they do. And that is what makes all the difference. So it really is coupling all that together. But the magic is our teachers.
Well, I think that's a great place to end. So thank you so much for being here.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to School and Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. Go ahead and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget, if you are enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcasts on iTunes? This helps others find our podcasts and lets us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn @branchingminds.